This episode of The Drive with Lante and Derek Piper is brought to you by Two Men in a Truck, movers who care. Visit them online at twomenchampagne.com for a free estimate.
And here we go.
There's the drive!
That is Derek's Dimes. Well done, well done.
Swing and a drive!
6'11 and a half. He's an athlete, face-up shooter.
High drive to left field!
I've been hearing that a lot.
He visited here this past weekend. Sounds like it went well.
The drive of the game.
I think if I'm Underwood, I want you to go out and I want you to take every available shot you have.
Swing and a drive, and that ball is absolutely right.
Well, here we are.
And he drives one.
Coach Derek Piper here.
Happy to be joined by Josh Whitman,
Brad Underwood,
Lovie Smith coming in to join us.
Gee. Let's go for a little ride.
All right, it is hour two of The Drive with Tay and Piper. Derek Piper going to try to get her around 5:25 or so on his way back from East Lansing. Hans D filled in admirably in hour one. He is putting together a little who you got for the end of the show today. But right now we're going to hit the phone lines. Welcome in the man. You can follow him on Twitter at Sturdy32, orangeandbluenews.com. Brad Sturdy, how are you, Brad?
Good. How you doing, Lon?
I'm doing well, I guess. You know, Brad,
you don't have to watch basketball team shoot.
Let me take you back to circa like 1987, 88, Villagrove High School, first year of the 3-point line. We weren't that good shooting deep, but we didn't shoot 10%.
No, it's pretty. I mean, that was pretty epically bad shooting. 3 for 28 from three. I mean. And, you know, what the scariest part about it is a lot of those looks are clean. They're feet set. They're off a catch, or they're totally unguarded in
right.
a few cases. I mean, and they just couldn't make them.
Right.
I mean, it's really astonishing because I know that we have watched practices and we watch these guys shoot in practice and they can make shots. I mean, and I'm not saying they're Steph Curry.
Right.
But they're better than 10%. I mean, they should shoot better than that. I mean, it's high major basketball. Illinois is shooting in their three Big Ten games. They're shooting 13% in the three Big Ten games.
Yeah, and that's the rub, right, Brad? It's not. I mean, I know I'm picking on last night, and Brad Underwood said, look, you're going to have these nights, and you and I have been around the sport long enough, and most everybody has to know you're going to have those nights. But the rub is that you've had these nights. You just didn't have a night. You've had these nights.
Yeah, it seems like it's more the norm now. I mean, and you think about it, there were like 330-something out of 350-some teams in three-point shooting.
Wow.
I mean, that's really bad. I mean, it's hard to win if you can't get that, you know, shoot well from three. And you don't have to be good, but 13%. Now, imagine the Maryland game, the Michigan game, and the game last night if they shoot 25% from three-point. I mean, now you're at least 2-1 right now.
Right.
You know, even at halftime last night, if they had made, and I posted this at the time, if they were 2-for-11 at halftime instead of 0-for-11, they're tied or ahead.
Wow.
At the break.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and you it just changes your mindset going into the second half then. So it's really amazing that a team can shoot this poorly this consistently. I mean, you think you're due to have a game. They're against the six high major opponents they played. They're combined 20 out of 100 from 3-point range, 20%.
I can do that.
Now, make that 30%, and you've now beat Missouri. You've now beat Miami. You've beat Maryland. I mean, and you're not thinking about, you know, are we going to inch into the NCAA tournament? You're thinking, what's our seed going to be?
Yep.
You know, so it's just a different. It's amazing how important shooting is in the game of basketball, and how poorly Illinois has done it thus far this season. Of course. I guess the positive is maybe they're going to get hot now.
Hey.
Maybe they'll regress to the mean, and for the next three games, they're going to shoot 45% from three, and they'll even out. But, you know, hopefully that'll happen, but I'm going to have to see it to believe it.
Yeah, and okay, now I want to go positive before I kind of break down some other maybe negative things. The positive is, and you've seen it, you've been in that seat, your seat, down by the court, so many times where Illinois basketball comes home, and they just go nuts on an opponent, and they shoot great, and you're like, wow, this doesn't even look like the same team. But here's the positive. You've played three games against three of the best teams, basically, arguably the three best teams in the Big Ten with Michigan State, Michigan, and Maryland. So, and two of those have been on the road. So from the outside looking in, if you looked at this macro in Illinois and you were some guy in Utah and you just picked up the paper and you're like, oh, well, they're 1-2 and they won their only home game. So that's about right. You have a chance now to go, you have a chance to even it up, go 2-2 with a game against Purdue at home. And really, if that happens Sunday, Brad, you've got to feel pretty good. I guess the problem is that we've seen the warts against the Missouris. We've seen the warts against the Miamis and everything. That's the thing that keeps me from going, oh, we're good. We're good. But yet, that said, you could still be 2-2.
Yeah, and that's the reality. They have to win this game because, and if you look at their schedule, if you win the Big Ten right now, I believe it's the home teams are 15-1.
That's right.
In 16 games. So here's the thing. If Illinois wins their home games, that gets them to 10 Big Ten wins.
Wow.
Then they only got to win, you know, a one game against a Northwestern. One game at Wisconsin. Because, you know, Wisconsin, although they're good at times, they aren't, you know, greatly athletic or anything. I mean, they're beatable. So, they went, you know, you saw what they did at Maryland. You know, if they'd have stolen that game. I mean, they have opportunities. There's still 17 Big Ten games left. It's way too early to throw in the towel. But, again, we're kind of skewed because we've watched it. So it's made us a little bit, right. You know, thinking, eh, well, here we go again, you know. So if they miss their first three-point bombs in the game Sunday, we're probably going to think, oh, my gosh, here we go again. You know, we're going to score 50. So, yeah, it is very true. But, yeah, you got to take care of business at home. And, you know, if you'd have told me before the season Illinois is going to start 1-2 in the Big Ten, I'd have said, Yeah. That's good. Good start.
Exactly.
That's a good start.
That's, you know? That's so true.
They just had to beat.
You know, the running joke.
Michigan at home was a good win.
Yeah, the running joke around here, Brad, is that Lon doesn't watch. I'm going Ricky Henderson on you. Lon doesn't watch games at the Kohl Center. I won't do it. I've seen too many. I was there in person when Frank Williams and that crew got beat and a chance to go to the Final Four, or I guess the Elite Eight, and then play Oregon, which they would have beaten, gotten to the Final Four under Bill Self. Ever since that day, it's just been a house of horrors for Illinois. So it's one of those where, you know, again, it's one of those where I kind of understand that if you beat Purdue, there's still that looming down the road. But you're right. I mean, it's a Wisconsin team that you feel like you could do some damage against. Your one-offs, you know, this year is not horrible in terms of playing. You don't go to Indiana, which is good. But I don't know. Yeah. Again, it's the consistency of getting it done. All right, next question for me. Georgie's got to be a 5. He can't be a 4, right?
Well, currently he's not playing like 4. He's really struggling. You know, I think he has some skill sets that can do well at the 4. But right now, his biggest issue is the decision-making part of the game and making those right decisions when he's facing the basket. He's really struggled there. He's been good. We saw last night he can still score in the post,
right?
If they get him the ball. I think with the foul trouble, with the conditioning things, I think that they could rotate Kofi and Georgie at the 5, maybe only play them together for about 10 minutes a game. But there's nobody playing the 4 right now who's getting the job done.
Sure.
Whether it's Kipper Nichols, whether it's Tevian Jones, whether it's Georgie, whether it's and last night I thought the best job they had at the 4 of anybody who played that spot last night was the last few minutes when they put Demonte at the 4. And it really, because he's not as much of a liability at the 4 with his outside shooting as lack of a, you know, scoring. Because,
yep.
You know, but now is he giving away size? Yeah, but you saw him block out Tillman, which is something that a lot of our guys don't do.
Good point.
You know, so I really think that they don't have that spot. If they had a power forward, a 6'7", 220-pound guy who could rebound and space the floor, then, you know, it'd be a no-brainer rotating Georgie and Kofi mostly. But they just don't have anybody.
No.
And so they're kind of in that predicament. You can see why Illinois wanted so bad to add a kid like a T.J. Holyfield.
Right.
Although he's not a great player for Texas Tech, he's a serviceable player who could come in and he would really have filled a hole for them. And so that's kind of where they've missed on the recruiting trail has really come back to bite them this year. And also, you know, maybe Tevian Jones down the road could be that guy, but right now he just looks lost out on the court. So he's not the guy right now. Maybe he will be down the road.
Brad Sturdy, Orange and Blue News, @Sturdy. 32. Alan Griffin, I know everybody's been clamoring for it, and there's no doubt. And there were times where, you know, Alan would get on the court and you'd be like, ugh. But boy, he was wonderful last night, and he gives you energy. Can he play the four? And I get it defensively. He's undersized. He's not strong necessarily. He's athletic. But can he play that four? Could you go that route and go short?
Man, I think it'd be hard. That's why I like him at the three and Demonte at the four more.
Got it.
Because Demonte has so much strength. You know, he's so strong and he's physical and he's tough. And, yeah, obviously maybe it would have been tough last night when Tillman's out there, but Demonte did a pretty good job blocking him out. But against a lot of teams when they're playing a 6-6-4, you know, Demonte might be the best matchup for him.
True.
You know, on both ends of the floor. So I think Griffin needs to – I love him. I love the way he's playing right now. Mm. And the thing about Alan Griffin is I've even seen Trent Frazier be hesitant to shoot this year.
Right.
Alan Griffin's not hesitant to shoot, man. He's got confidence. I mean, he thinks he's going to make it, which is why he's one of the few guys actually making shots.
Yep.
You know, you have to expect to make the shot if you're going to shoot it. You know, and you watch that last night. You watch how many times they hesitate, and then they end up shooting, or they aren't sure what to do, and they miss the first shot, and then they start thinking, and it just really, you can't hesitate in basketball. I mean, you got to go play, and I think Alan just goes and plays, and yeah, he's going to make some mistakes, but you've got to live with those. I think he's really progressed from that part of the game from last year, and so I think he's played 24 and 25 minutes the last two games. I think he probably needs to play even more, 28 to 30 minutes, because he provides something that they need right now.
Yeah, and you talk about, like, if Georgie not at the four, like Michigan State last night was essentially begging him to shoot, and not only begging him to shoot, but laying off him so far that who, and let's be honest, Georgie's a great passer, and unfortunately now he's trying to force things into Kofi because his guy is 4 feet off of him, and, I mean, these guys are, even short guys are 6'7" in college basketball, so that may free that up a little bit to indirectly help a guy like Kofi underneath.
Yeah, I totally agree, and then the thing about Georgie is, you know, if they let him shoot, but also he can't really do anything. Like, he's not a guy who can attack the baseline and kick out to the weak side or something like that. You know, you don't see him doing that, so if he gets the ball high, it's hard for him to put the ball on the floor when the guy's playing 5 feet off him, where you get a guy like maybe it's a Demonte. I mean, I remember when you go back years ago, they almost played him like Purdue played Chester Frazier one year when he was like a sophomore or junior.
Hmm.
They didn't guard him.
Yeah, that's right.
The person in the lane, they kept the ball, and they dotted him and said, hey, you know, we're not going to guard you. If you want to shoot a three, and he didn't know what to do. And Georgie looked like that last night. It's almost, you're so open, you don't know what to do. And so you're like, well, and so all of his shots last night, though, if you look at him, it wasn't like he was going up shooting with confidence. He was like, well, I'm so open, I have to shoot it.
You're right.
So I'm just going to throw it at the rim, see what happens. So
you're exactly right, Brad. And it was almost a hesitation, and it can't be. You know, it's got to be, like you said, a catch and a shoot or off a dribble. That's the thing that would scare me about Demonte a little bit, is that I think until he proved him wrong, that they'd kind of do the same thing a little bit with Demonte, but maybe not. All right, you brought up Trent Frazier. You know, I don't want to say that Trent isn't playing well, because I think what we do is, a lot of times, and I'm the king ringleader of this, I only look at offense. But you look at what, up until last night, Trent Frazier's been really good defensively, and really good in terms of he's been drawing the hard assignments, and he's done a really respectable job. But we got to get Trent rolling. Is he just a guy, you think, Brad, that could maybe show up Sunday at State Farm Center and all of a sudden knock down four or five, and maybe that gets him rolling?
Yeah, he needs that game. I think he needs a game where he, you know, hits four or five, gets confidence. Yeah, you're right. He's been playing pretty good defense. He doesn't turn the ball over. His usage is really low when you look at, compared to, obviously, his freshman year, he had to carry things a little bit. But, you know, last year he was a little bit lower, but nothing like this year where he's, you know, he's just kind of almost like been relegated just a spot up shooter, and he could be more. You know what I mean? I think he's got to, you know, understand that he can do more than that. You know, he can get to the basket a little bit, especially when they're closing out so hard and they're playing him so tight, because, you know, the game plan on Trent is run him off the line. Yep. I mean, don't let him get comfortable. Don't let him shoot threes. And he's not tall. So, I mean, you know, he's 6'1". So it was hard for him to get a shot off against, you know, guys with length. So he's got to be a little bit more creative and do a little more. But I think he just he gets stagnant and starts standing and doesn't create an offense. And I think he can do more. And so maybe if he hits a couple shots, it'll open that up. But I mean, you know, you saw last night, he really struggled, you know, from the floor.
No doubt.
And one thing about that I've seen kind of, if you watch Illinois, sometimes they let their, a poor shooting night affect their defense.
Yep.
And we've seen that. And if they don't shoot the ball well, they don't defend as well. You know, against Michigan, they thought, oh, they've turned the corner because they played good defense, even though they didn't make outside shots. Well, then we had the Missouri game. And you kind of like, you know. And so now we said that last night, they really didn't make outside shots. They let Michigan State get a lot of things in transition, didn't get back on defense after they missed those shots. And it created some problems for them. And some of that's maturity, but some of it's just, you know, you got to do it. You know, you got to get it done. You got to play both ends. And Trent had been doing that. The other guys hadn't, but I think Trent just needs a couple shots go in and he'll feel a lot better.
My favorite line from my dad growing up when he'd watch me play basketball was, you know, Lon, you do play defense, but only after you make a shot. The rest of the time, you're nowhere to be found. And it's true. I mean, you kind of get that confidence on one end, and then you want to bust your butt on the other to get it going. All right, last question, and yep. I'm not taking you across the coals here with this, because but Brad Underwood now 2-18 in the Big Ten road games. He's 12-29 overall. How's your feeling with Brad right now, year three? I mean, this doesn't have to be some epic quote that, you know, is going to go national, obviously, but how do you feel about Brad Underwood? I mean, it seems as though, I remember talking to Piper about this a little bit, that, you know, coming in, like with he and Konzo going into that bragging rights game, it seemed like there was one coach that was going to be able to recruit and not necessarily coach that well, and the other coach was going to kind of recruit and coach the heck out of him. Well, Underwood's kind of right now seems like the guy that's recruiting at a high level. I'm not sure the coaching is there. I don't know. And sometimes that's a dangerous cliff to go over, because sometimes, you know, it is just the player. But how do you feel right now with Brad Underwood as you get ready to attack this Big Ten season?
I think there are concerns. I think anybody who's watched this team has concerns about the way things are going. And my concern isn't necessarily with his I don't have concerns about, you know, whether the guy knows basketball or anything
right,
like that.
Right.
I think the concern is program building, finding pieces that fit what you want. And I think you're starting to see what they like, and they've got a couple guys sitting out this year, Hutcherson and Grandison.
Good call.
Who are, you know, good shooters, long kids that, you know, probably are different than, you know, than some of the kids that they brought in. Otherwise, they've mm-hmm. got two kids coming in who can, you know, Adam Miller and Coleman Hawkins are great shooters.
Yep.
And you've got a point guard who's Andre Curbelo, who is maybe the best player of all of them coming in. So I think they're seeing some changes, but now can you put all those pieces together to fit around a Kofi, around a Georgie? How do you get them to work together? And I think that's been probably more of the issue for him. It's not really like not understanding basketball or anything like that.
Amen.
It's being able to get guys to play the way you want them to play, where you want them to play, and how you want them to play. Which I think at high major basketball, that's probably the most important part.
Yeah, right. No, I totally agree. Brad Sturdy, how's your daughter doing right now? Because she's playing college ball, right?
Well, I got one in high school. She's a senior.
Oh, maybe that's the one I keep seeing. She's lighting it up, isn't she, in basketball?
She's doing pretty well, yeah, 20-some points a game, 21 points a game,
you know.
Like 7 assists and 6 rebounds. So she's doing well. I mean, we're 14-3, so she's off to a good start this year. So
that's
got
awesome.
A lot of games left, so
and then
hopefully she can keep it going.
And then your other daughter is playing softball, yeah. Right? College softball.
She plays softball, yeah, University of Illinois Springfield.
That is awesome.
So, yeah, she plays softball there. So they're getting ready to start practice here in a couple weeks, so. So I'm sure she's excited for the spring. So she's junior this year, so
boom.
Should be fun.
Their mom's tremendous. She's a tremendous athlete. We obviously know that.
Well, she would have to be, right? It would have to come from her mother. So we know that.
Believe me, we know. I know. I personally know Brad Underwood was a hell of an athlete. So, or Brad Underwood. I'm sure he was too, but Brad Sturdy as well. All right, buddy. Listen, I appreciate you taking the time today, my friend. Beat Purdue, get to 2-2, and all things look good.
Yeah, you definitely come out a little bit rosier than we are right now.
Amen.
That's for sure.
Thanks, buddy.
Hey, thanks, Lon. Appreciate it.
All right, Brad Sturdy. Follow him on Twitter, at Sturdy32. OrangeandBlueNews.com is where you read his stuff. Derek Piper, I see his face right now. And he's wearing a green pullover. Maybe he has shifted to a Michigan State fan. That will be breaking news that I will talk to Derek about when we come back. I have to do work first. Oh, why not? Disturbed. Hey, your days are busy. Oh, really? Simplify your finances with the Busey Advantage. What is that? Well, keep and manage all your accounts in one place. Personal, mortgage, business, treasury management, wealth management. Busey can keep all of that in one place with a Busey Advantage. Busey, they're local, conveniently located near your home and office. Large network with more than 80 banking centers, 30,000 plus surcharge-free ATMs. They're also online, mobile banking services. They allow you to carry the branch with you. Put your trust in the history of strength and service. Busey has served the needs of this community for, get this, over 150 years. Get the services and benefits you want and need from your bank. Benefit from the Busey Advantage today. Visit any Busey location. Call 1-800-67-BUSEY or visit Busey.com for solutions to your personal, business, and wealth management needs. Derek Piper in next. I just nailed that, Cliff. I nailed it. It is The Drive.
To hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along, which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ziprecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job in ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter. The smartest way to hire. And now you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. At ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter.com/free.
Hey, Miss Johnson, what's this you got cooking here on the stove?
Now, Billy, I told you to stay out of that until supper time, you hear me?
But, Miss Johnson, it smells so good, and it's so cold out.
I know it smells good, Billy. It's because it's my famous stew with a great cut of meat from the U of I Meat Sales Room.
If you're looking for the best cuts of meat for stew, soups, or any dish that will keep you warm this winter, head to the U of I Meat Sales Room. The U of I Meat Sales Room on the corner of Maryland and Florida in Urbana.
Logic, an all-new kind of everyday community that makes sense for you. Drop in for the kids to have a safe childcare option to learn and play. As you stay focused nearby in the building with workspace and meeting areas to get the job done, you'll have the flexibility you need to thrive and prosper and keep your energy up with wholesome food options or get in a good workout in their fitness rooms. All under one roof. Logic, an inspiring community for work, play, food, and fun. 1807 South Neal, corner of Neal and St. Mary. Online at lodgic.org.
Hey, it's Stevie J. Like many, I knew all about Game Day Spirits Illini gear, but I wasn't so knowledgeable about the corporate apparel they do. They do really great work. I've had some shirts done, and some of my employees have too. They're very high quality and perfect for your business or organization. If you need something in the summer, need something in the winter, Game Day Spirit does custom screen printing and embroidery for every season or style. From blue collar to the boardroom, they have you covered with corporate apparel. Get a quote. Email sales@gamedayspirit.com and you'll be pleased. Jeremiah 29:11 states, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." What a comfort we have in this passage as the Lord is telling Jeremiah, "I care for you and will take care of you." If you are in despair and think you have no hope, pray to the Lord and ask Him for His blessings, guidance, and protection. See how your life can be changed in the lives of those around you. This message brought to you by the Blossom Basket Florist.
Hey, Cardinals Nation, the Cardinals Caravan presented by Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance is coming your way. It's your chance to get up close and personal with your favorite team. Get the latest scoop on the upcoming season from current players, Cardinals alumni, and broadcasters. Plus, there will be raffle prizes and autographs for the kids. Jump on the Cardinals Caravan. The Cardinals Caravan. Rolling into Champaign on Friday, January 17th. For more information, visit cardinals.com/caravan.
My old washer and dryer were on their last legs, and I really wanted a front loader set. So I went shopping. I thought that the big box lumber yard would have the best deals, so I started there. They had an Electrolux set I really liked, and I thought it was a fair price, but I wanted to compare it with one other store. Dick Van Dyke advertises the best deal, so I tried there. Boy, am I glad I did. They had the same washer and dryer, but their deal came with a buy one, get one free pedestal and a free 10-year protection plan. The other store would sell me a warranty, but for only 5 years. It was a no-brainer. I bought my beautiful new washer and dryer at Dick Van Dyke, saved $370, and got 10 years of protection. Wow!
I'm Dennis Reakin, president of Dick Van Dyke Appliance World. This could be your true story in Champaign-Urbana during January. I guarantee the best deal on your next appliance purchase. Wow!
When you buy from us, you get the whole store.
If you're looking to save money at a grocery store with fresh fruits and vegetables, with in-store help, and someone who bags your groceries, I invite you to visit Value Check, where cost plus food creates more savings. Value Check, where quality and price meet you in the middle. Did I say you'll save money? You'll save money. Fantastic specials every single week. If you want to save money on your groceries, visit Value Check today. They're at 1914 Glen Park Drive in Champaign.
ESPN Radio 93.5. Lante, Derek Piper. I can finally say that.
What's going on?
And Derek Piper's here. Hans D has done well.
Apologize for keeping you waiting. I know what you guys were all thinking. It's like, is he going to live up to his promise? Has he been hanging around Illinois basketball too much, not living up to those?
Did he miss an exit or two or 16?
No.
Or 20?
Stuck in Indy.
Get it? He missed.
Oh, there it is.
Yeah. So somebody did say, Lon, it's only a half hour. Let Piper go home. But I
it's
said,
on the way. I just lived down the road.
He's got to earn his money, man.
That's true.
He's got to earn his cash. Hans D did fill in admirably.
I thought so.
So
thought it was strong.
Yep.
And you had like a James Harden ISO, just but you went off. You hit 40 in like a two-quarter stretch. I was impressed.
I looked up and I had literally talked for 15 minutes, and I could only see like my friends going, Lon, shut up. You've talked enough. So I have talked enough. You were there last night, Breslin Center. This thing was 36-30, I think, at one point.
Shockingly.
Yeah. And I haven't even mentioned the Trent Frazier. But anyway, that let's be honest, that didn't make a difference in that game. Michigan State goes on a 15-3 run. Let's micro first with the game last night. What were your thoughts about what happened there?
I was shocked that you're only down six at the half. Should have only been five because it was one of the worst calls I've ever seen, if not the worst call I've ever seen on Trent Frazier, the blocking call. But I thought you were in a good spot, and you got punched in the mouth right off the bat. You didn't make shots. Yep. Kofi gets blocked early, and you're just like, oh, boy.
Yeah, you felt like you were going to be down 15, and every time you look, you're only down six or eight.
They didn't take advantage. Michigan State missed free throws on the Underwood Tech. And then they miss free throws at the end when they're given that call. And you go into the locker room and you're only down six. You're like, hey, you know, we might be in this game. And Io's going off of that.
Right.
Io was had a valiant effort.
He had a lot of effort.
You could tell the look on his face is like, man, I'm shouldering a heavy load right now because nobody else is going. But the plays he was able to make was pretty impressive. And that looked like a guy that deserves to be in an all Big Ten conversation. I'm not obviously he's going to have to do it for more games to get back there. But as far as where we thought he would be, he was a big-time player in that game.
Was.
And he totally he belonged. Alan Griffin belonged. Those two are huge bright spots. Alan Griffin's play was spectacular, and you're hoping that he can carry it over. But outside of that, nobody else on your team looked like they were ready.
I was laughing. I try not to give away your content on Illini Inquirer, but your stars there were only a couple that got anything worth anything.
Yeah. Well, for the record, those are Jeremy's.
Oh, those are Jeremy's.
Last night, the player grades.
Oh, okay. Sorry about that,
Jeremy. But I agree with everything that he,
right.
How he graded.
It was like, ooh, there's a lot of ones on this thing.
Yes.
Does Alan Griffin need to play more?
Yeah. I asked Brad about it in the presser afterwards, and he played 25 minutes.
Yeah, well, right.
But when you look at it, it's a 20-point loss, and Illinois was only minus three when Alan was on the court.
Wow.
So he's making a big difference.
Yeah.
And does he need to play now 30 minutes, 30-plus minutes? I think that is the case.
Mm-hmm.
And he is, as Brad said, growing into that role now, and they have the utmost confidence in him. He keeps plays alive on the offensive glass.
Yes, he does.
You're never questioning his effort. He is making shots. I know he's only 1 of 5 from three, and him as well as everybody else on your roster needs to step up and make some threes, make some darn shots.
Mm.
But I was impressed with the way he went to the rim and finished, and he just always plays hard, and that's something that you just got to have him on the floor.
This team, this is one of the weirdest conundrums ever. They're actually a good shooting team, field goal percentage-wise, inside the three-point line.
Right.
I think.
Well, yeah, Brad said last night they were number 2 in the Big Ten heading into this one in field goal percentage. Of course, Kofi on the block.
Helps.
Playing against North Carolina A&T, Hampton, the Citadel.
Well, right.
Helped as well, but
yeah.
When you get the ball inside, higher percentage shots.
And for years under John Gross, when we didn't have a big man, I used to think about that, and I used to say, you know, every shot that's not a layup or a dunk is a kind of a more of a pressured shot. And if you need a handful of times a game, you need somebody to just lay in a basketball or dunk a basketball. And those are called no-pressure shots because it's simple. You just do it. You didn't have to react. You didn't have to take a shot. But
yeah, Illinois, like Iowa in transition.
Yeah. Illinois is getting that now underneath. But from the three-point line out, this might be one of the worst shooting teams in the country.
Statistically, they are.
They are, maybe.
They absolutely are. I know KenPom, against D1 opponents, they're below 28% from three. And you mentioned the stat earlier about the high majors. They're 20 for 100 from three. So it's not a one-off where Brad, after the game, I know that fans aren't going to be happy with saying, well, it's only one game we missed shots. Well, you've missed shots in
Correct. A
lot of games. You went 1 for 11 from three and managed to beat Michigan somehow.
Right.
Which, of course, you dominated the inside, and Kofi and Georgie played really well together in that game. Not so well together in this game or of late. Georgie just has not been valuable at all outside of his passing.
No.
So that's concerning. Trent Frazier, his best attribute he showed as a freshman, even as a prospect, is a shot maker.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's not doing that. It's hard to say this, but it seemed like the way Trent played last night, and maybe it was just a matter of missing shots, but was the moment too big for Trent last night?
Hmm.
It made you wonder just the way he played against Missouri, the way he played against Michigan State, with his confidence and where he's at right now. It makes you concerned. So to the point of the macro or just looking at the Michigan State game, losing by 20 points, 20 points is a lot of points.
Right.
You didn't compete as well as Rutgers did there or as well as Northwestern did against Michigan State, but losing to Michigan State is not surprising.
No.
It's not a blow to your resume per se, but it's just more of the eye test of there are quite a few things wrong with this team. Georgie is one of them. Three-point shooting is one of them. And
the turnovers were horrible early.
True.
They've kind of gotten that a little bit and, you know, bottled up. But, you know, you said something there, and that's alarming about Trent Frazier, because if there's one thing that I would say about Trent, especially his freshman and sophomore year, it's that the moment was never too big for him.
Exactly.
He loved those moments. Gonzaga, you know, playing the number one team in the country last year early, and he just goes off. I think that was Trent. Yeah.
Yeah.
In the Maui.
Yeah. Bragging rights every year.
So it almost speaks to
him being comfortable.
Him being comfortable, and where is he at mentally right now?
True.
And the magic question, the magic eight ball question is, magic eight ball, why is that the reason? And, you know, who knows what that little triangle is going to pop up. But, you know, that you got to get him comfortable if you're going to win games, because really he's the one, if you want, he's the one pure shooter you have on this team in terms of from deep. I know Alan's supposed to be one, he's not there yet. And he, to this point, maybe hasn't played enough to where you can give a grade for sure. But you're right. I mean, Trent is one of two, basically, because I don't consider Iowa a pure shooter from the outside. Two guys that are pure shooters, and you're going to need that if you're going to win games in the Big Ten.
Yeah, Trent shot over 40% from three last year. Mm. So he's obviously proven it. Allen, we saw it in high school and as far as what he was supposed to be. And he's had flashes, particularly against lower level competition, of making 3-point shots. But yeah, we mentioned it going into this year where Trent and I were your only two that even shot 35% from three. You know, from last year that you brought onto this roster. So that is a major concern. You're not even guarding Georgie from three, but there is a lot. You know, Trent needs to be able to step up and make shots.
Yep.
It sounds simple, and it also sounds like an uncontrollable thing where right. How much is, I know you guys are talking about how much is that on the coach. One thing I will say is you don't see Trent running off a lot of screens.
Nope.
And a lot of other teams have off-ball actions going where this is just the dribble weave, or you're setting simple ball screens and a lot of standing around. That's not to say that Trent had good looks that he missed.
Yeah.
But that's one thing that I think that you're still trying to, as far as what Brad can control out of this, that would be one thing that stands out to me.
Yep. Wade said, I believe, as I stated before the season, that the three-point line being moved was going to make a difference not only for Illinois but everyone.
I honestly don't think it does, though.
You know, Wade, I'm not being a smart out. Did you watch the Minnesota-Purdue game, right? You know, I mean, did you? Because that game, those guys were knocking threes down like it was, like they were shooting layups.
I think it's maybe a percentage or two. I think that's what the analytics say.
Yeah, right.
But overall, look at Trent Frazier's threes as a freshman and a sophomore. He's taking them 5 feet behind the line anyway.
Good point.
He's not standing just, all right, here's the line. That's exactly where I'm shooting it at. A lot of these guys are taking those shots at the current line where right. It is now.
The intensity level of that game, first of all, Breslin was loud.
It was hopping.
For not having students there?
There were. See, students were off, but the students made sure to be there. Oh. I'm sure they're in town because Michigan comes to town on Sunday.
Ah, got it. All right.
And so when you're,
those not living in the dorm were there.
I mean, when you're Michigan State, why wouldn't you want to go to games every opportunity?
Oh, listen, and I've heard State Farm Center and the then Assembly Hall get that loud, but the intensity with which that game was played early on. You know what's bugging me about? You know what bugs me about those kind of games is that you almost feel like, and the officials to me had nothing to do with that game last night, minus the one call that was just brutal. But those games, the intensity of which they're played, that it almost comes down to where the coaches can impact the officials so much in that game. In a game like that, not that particular game, but there are times, and I've seen it go for Illinois here, but there sure. are just times where you just see that and you're like for instance.
How many times have you seen Izzo do that?
Yeah. And for instance, this is what I mean, and I'm not going to make this clear. The clarity on this is going to be bad, and I apologize to everybody. There's times where I almost hope that Michigan State or an opponent doesn't get called for a foul, because then I almost in my mind think, oh, crap. Now they're going to even that up, and it's going to change the whole way this thing is officiated. And it's things like that that I just almost wish you could play a game like Illinois-Michigan State last night with the crowd, zero officials.
True.
And just call your own.
Well, you've mentioned even it. I've heard from where you sit at State Farm Center, you hear Bo Borowski run by the bench and say, I owe you one.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, man, is that? You know it's how it goes. You just don't want to hear him say it.
Right. I don't want to know that. And because, yeah, I don't know. It gets frustrating. Speaking of that, 217 texted in and said, whether it's a bad or good call on Trent, it was a bad call.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know how you could think, or good, or whatever. I mean, he was set. So why is he even there? That's such a low percentage shot. Got to question the decision making. If the game was close, that would be a killer. You got to play defense.
Yeah, I tweeted about it. I had the same reaction, honestly. When at first I thought Trent was hunting a charge, and I'm saying the buzzer's about to go off and he's 40 feet from the basket.
Right.
You don't want to leave it. Even if it's a blatant, obviously should be a charge, don't put it in the ref's hands of initiating contact, or not necessarily initiating, but being there for a contact play and leaving in the ref's hands to potentially call that. I'm not saying olay it and let him get as close as he can get and hit that shot, but when rewatching the replay, I didn't think Trent did that as much as I initially saw, but it was clear that Trent was squaring up. But then again, he's a 6-foot guard
right.
who's just trying to do anything to make sure it's not an open three.
And I get what the texter's saying. I get that because the percentages are not high that that shot's going to drop. You know, see Nick Anderson in 1989 against Indiana, right? But, you know, I get that. The percentages are not high, but, you know, it's still... And, you know, the other thing, the things that bother me, a couple of things bother me. First of all, that's the wrong official, I think, to make that call. He's running down the court, basically. I feel like an official behind him should have made that call. So I think that put a lot of pressure on that official, and he got it wrong. But the other thing, this is me, this is totally me, maybe there's one other person that saw it. When it all happened, Georgie throws his hand up, makes a fist, puts his hand up in the air as a fist, and I don't know, I guess he's calling a charge?
Yeah.
And then 2 seconds, not even a second later, the official, I can't think of his name, throws his hand up. And I almost wonder, I mean, we're all human. If I see you yawn right now, I'm going to yawn. You know, and or if you sneeze, I might sneeze. Or if you smile, I may smile. I wonder if the official, like, sees Georgie do that. And in his mind, he almost reacts to it.
Oh, yeah.
Like, oh, and then once he's got that, he's got to call something. And let's be honest, how many of us watching that play at live speed thought for sure that Trent was set? Probably not a lot of us. Now, when you watch it on the slowdown, he's obviously set. But maybe everybody else saw it better than I did, but I didn't know for sure when it first happened that Trent, and my reaction was kind of like yours and the texture. I'm like, what are you doing?
Exactly.
Get out of the way.
I thought he was square. I just didn't know why he was, was trying to make that
happen.
I mean,
you can run over there and jab step him within 2 feet or blah, you know, something. But to actually set up for a charge like that and leave it in the official's hands, I think you're right on that. So, yeah, that's a good text. I mean, that's one of those, I don't know.
Are you concerned about Kofi?
Yeah. Oh, no. I'm glad that you asked. Yes, I am. I am. Because the last couple of games against Missouri and Michigan State, he has played weak. Weak. And he can't play weak. There is not one person in America, let alone a college basketball player, that should be able to rip a ball out of Kofi's hands. And he needs to, and you know what? It's all part of the learning process, right? Give him 5 more games and he's gonna say, okay. Because I think what's happening is teams now are figuring out, okay, we're going to make him get it, but we're gonna have a lot of people around him. And he's going to have to make a little move. It's not just like Ochoro last night, 18 straight times. They just dumped the ball down him, and he just turned around and dunked. Kofi's not quite that athletic. I don't know about athletic's the right word. That quick, maybe, on his feet like Ochoro from Minnesota. But I am worried. But I'm not worried to the point where I don't think he can turn that around. I think this is a learning lesson for him. And now they've got to do a lot of drills and say, Kofi, people know now how to play you. They've seen what you're doing. They now know how to play you. So here's the drills you need to work on.
Yeah.
Whether it's a power dribble. I know everybody says for a big man, don't bring that down. And I get that. But sometimes if you power dribble and turn, then you almost get your momentum going to where you go up and dunk. But yeah, I'm worried. Is Brad?
Did he say anything? I don't know about if he's worried. He just says, you know, Kofi's going to be better. And at the same time, I think what he would tell you is that it's a freshman big guy that obviously is now learning. When you play against Michigan State, you're going to learn some things.
Amen.
But when you're a freshman big, the problem is Illinois is leaning so heavy on him and has throughout the course of this season.
Very true.
To where he struggles and you don't hit threes and all of a sudden you're in a really bad spot. But I think it showed that he still doesn't have many moves in the post. He's got the right hook and then he might drop step. But then if they bring traffic, he's starting to rush it. And then he ends up with 9 rebounds, but I swear he blocks nobody out.
No.
And he hasn't had to. When you're 7'2",
he's never had to
block anybody out. But it shows times where Xavier Pinson against Missouri came flying in, got a put back over Kofi. Gabe Brown comes in and grabs one last night. And it's like, man, you need to be able to create space with that body.
Yes.
And he's playing smaller than he actually physically is the last couple of games.
That was a big play when Brown came in and grabbed that. Quick call, quick break after that. Chris and Muhammad, how are you, Chris?
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Good, buddy.
Hey, just to comment and question. I did a check still that Purdue-Minnesota game. That was a wild one, too. And no overtime. That was a really good game. And,
crazy.
My question is, when Michigan State-Minnesota hook up, will Carr go against Winston? That should be a good matchup if that's the case. But I just want to see what you thought about that matchup if that does happen. Thanks, guys.
All right, buddy. They will match up, I assume.
Absolutely.
I liked what I saw out of Carr. He ended up fouling out. He had a couple of late miscues, including a turnover when Minnesota could have pretty much iced the game. But Canada kid, he's Canadian, Derek, and he put on a couple of shows or a couple of moves last night that were smooth for Minnesota.
Yeah, I didn't get a chance to see. I know he dropped 35 against Ohio State earlier this year, so it sounds legit.
Yeah,
obviously,
he's good.
A high level matchup at point guard between him and Winston.
He's good, and Ochoro is really good. He is really tough.
What pick did he go in your draft?
He went right after me. So guess who didn't take him? Because I went with Cowan.
That's okay. I don't think Cowan's the Trubisky to where Arturo's going to be the Mahomes and there's another Watson out there. So I think you're okay.
But here's the worst part is I drafted fifth. The kid that took him right after me drafted sixth. I have to play six to start the year, and last night Ochoro went 29-18. 29 points at 18. He played with four fouls for about 9 minutes, didn't foul out. He did miss 10 shots, which helped. But overall, he scored like 36 points against me. Now, on the flip side of that, Hunter got him 16. Hunter looked good last night, but I had Stefanovic, who hit five threes. He's got the quickest shot I've ever seen in my life, ever. I don't know if anybody hasn't watched Stefanovic, go back, go YouTube it right now. I've never seen a kid shoot a ball that quick. But he hit five threes. He got me 22 fantasy wise. And Michigan State got me 24 as a team. I was still rooting for Illinois, though, I promise.
You will be when Stefanovic comes here to Champaign.
Absolutely.
On Sunday.
Absolutely. Okay. Actually, I need Harms to do really bad that night, Williams to do really bad that night, and Purdue to do really bad that night, because the guy I'm playing has got all three of those. And I need Stefanovic to go for 30, and Purdue loses by 20. Perfect. All right, we got to do a who you got quick when we come back, the drive.
Wow. I got a cup, a koozie, a stress ball, a shirt, a bunch of pens, a stack of pencils, even an umbrella, all with different businesses on them. This is such a good day. I love swag from these conferences.
It might be 12 different businesses on those swag items, but more than likely, it's one source of printing for those. Minuteman Press. They take your logo and put it on various items, and it's a great way for your name to be in the public conscience. Give them a try if you own a business or you're hosting an event, head to their website, cuprinting.com, for more information.
There are good ideas and there are better ideas. Renting a truck, asking your friends to help you move, and buying a bunch of pizzas to feed them after they're all worn out might be a good idea, but a better idea is to hire Two Men in a Truck and let them take the stress out of your move. Two Men in a Truck will only send professional movers and no day labor. There's better ways to spend time with your friends. Contact the movers who care and save your friendships. Two Men Champagne.com. That's a smart move.
Hey, it's Stevie J. I've been using the corporate apparel from Game Day. They've been making these Stevie J broadcasting button downs, and I love them. And I just got two new in today, and the staff's excited because I don't have to wear the same shirt. So very excited for the repertoire change and all these fabulous corporate apparel shirts from Game Day. If you want a quote, I would suggest you email them sales@gamedayspirit.com, sales@gamedayspirit.com. It's high quality. It's great stuff. You'll love it. Corporate apparel from Game Day Spirit. Hi, it's Stevie J. Sit back and relax and take the drive with Long Tay and Derek Piper. Weekdays 4 to 6 right here on ESPN Radio 93.5.
All right, it's the drive. ESPN Radio 93.5. Long Tay, Derek Piper. Got to talk quick. Hods D is joining us now because we've got to do who you got. All right, Hods.
Who you got? Men's basketball. Wisconsin at number 5, Ohio State. Who you got?
Buckeyes. If this game was at Wisconsin, I would think about it. I'm not thinking about it at Ohio State. I think Wisconsin will muck it up a little bit, but Ohio State will win this.
OH. All right, number 23, Iowa, at number 21, Penn State.
Ooh.
Who you got?
Garza against Watkins and Stevens. Wieskamp against Marvin Jones for Penn State. I think Penn State gets this done, but this is going to be a fun game to watch. I've got a DVR'd. I can't wait to watch it. I'll go Penn State at home.
Iowa's offense has still been really good.
Yeah.
Now that Bohannon's out, Garza obviously is filling it up. Wieskamp is playing better of late, but I'll take Penn State, Lamar Stevens, and what they're doing.
That Bohannon hurts Iowa because I think they need that third guy, and they don't have it now.
Next up, Creighton at number 11, Butler. Who you got?
Butler's 13-1. Can we one day do a show on just Butler basketball the last 10 years and why that school that's not that far from here absolutely dominates. Can we just go look what they've done recruiting-wise and figure it out? Mm. Gordon Hayward helps. I'll take Butler at home. Creighton's 12-2.
Butler at home.
I bet Indiana would be pretty annoyed by them, too.
Oh.
Gotta be.
We should do a show one time to look at Indiana, Purdue, Butler, and who, I mean, Butler was in two straight national titles,
we'll
right?
Have Hans call into Archie's next press conference and say, Archie, why are you getting outplayed by Butler?
Boom. Exactly.
Perfect.
Next up, Indiana at number 15, Maryland.
This is the game that Indiana realizes we're not quite 11-2 worthy. I think Maryland wins this game by, I want to say 9-10 right in there. And Indiana's like, uh-oh, maybe we're not that good.
Yeah, it's easy just to side with the home teams in this one. It's Big Ten play, right. Home teams win. Cowan and Jalen Smith, I'll take the Terps.
Rivalry, number 12, Michigan at number 14, Michigan State.
This would be better if Livers was playing. He's not. Michigan is, without him, that's not going to help. Michigan State's too tough, especially at home. Michigan State's got like 18 straight games at home in the Big Ten. I know they don't because it all evens out in the end, but they play a lot of home games early. I'll go Michigan State to win it.
Xavier Tillman showed you how good he is last night. Bingham was big for them, especially defensively and on the glass as well. So Winston looks fine. He doesn't look hurt. For Iowa Sparty.
Is Bingham he's like a shorter Manute Bowl.
Yeah.
He's like skinny as all get out, but he was effective.
On to the NFL wild card
weekend.
Buffalo Bills at Houston Texans Saturday.
I've liked Buffalo all year, and I feel like it's all those games that they could have won to kind of break through that they just haven't. This is the one.
Okay.
I think Buffalo beats Houston, and they finally have kind of their stamp it signature win of the year.
This one's tough. It's hard to trust either one of them. I'm a big Deshaun Watson fan, but at the same time, they've been so untrustworthy. They lost last year at home to the Colts. Will Fuller is questionable. Bill's defense is really, really good. I'll ride with you. I'll say Buffalo.
Okay.
Tennessee Titans at New England Patriots. Who you got?
When New England finally loses, then I won't go against them. Derrick Henry, I think, is going to be fun. I mean, they're going to try to pound against New England, and they'll get the job done. New England's given up a lot of yardage to running backs this year, but Patriots win, and until they lose, I'm going Patriots.
I'm going to be that guy. I'm going to be stupid and take the bait. I'm going to say that New England knows that they're not going anywhere, and showed against Miami. Tennessee goes in, runs the football, plays good defense. New England's offense is bad.
Yeah.
They cannot do anything. I'll take Tennessee. Justin Tannehill, as bad as that sounds.
Oh, Tannehill's been good.
Yes.
Yeah. Wish he was good with the Dolphins.
I hear you.
Minnesota Vikings at New Orleans Saints.
Gosh, Minnesota's been weird this year, right? I'm just going to go Saints. I'm not even going to explain why. Saints. I'm sorry.
Drew Brees at home. Saints. They've gotten... had two brutal ends to their playoffs the last 2 years.
Yes.
A lot of motivation, Saints at home.
That's been like five times they've lost in weird situations.
Seattle Seahawks at Philadelphia Eagles.
Philadelphia's in the NFC East, and the NFC East stinks. I was going to use a stronger word. I'll go Seattle on the road. It's not easy to go west-east.
Yeah.
But Seattle gets it done.
I trust your logic. The one thing is the Eagles find a way to be pesky in the playoffs. Last year they go to Chicago and win. I know that had a lot to do with Chicago as well.
That's a good point.
But Nick Foles isn't playing quarterback for them. I just think Seattle's the better team, so I'll take Seattle.
Big Nick.
And for the game on Sunday, Purdue at Illinois.
Oh, boy.
Who you got?
Purdue's 9-5, 2-1, Illinois. Yeah, it is. Yeah. It is a must win for NCAA. You cannot lose this game. I'm not that impressed with Purdue. And usually I'm the guy that's terrified of Purdue and Wisconsin. Illinois wins this game. They get right. They go on some runs. I think Illinois wins it by 6. I'll say 70-64 Illinois.
Big Ten teams are 15-1 at home. You've got to take care of business on your home floor. Illinois is going to be a desperate team. Take the under, whatever it's going to be.
Yep.
It's going to be ugly.
Yep.
But essentially for Illinois... there's no excuses. There's no reasons. Whether you don't make shots, you turn the ball over. There's no excuses. You got to win the game.
Boom.
62-60, Illinois.
I like it. I like that. Oh, this number 3 is not as good. Hans? I wanted to make it dramatic.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Alan Griffin and Andres Feliz goes for double digits.
Oh.
Yeah. And they're going to go off.
Okay.
I don't know.
What's the score?
68-65, Illinois.
Oh, my goodness. Look what I originally...
How many threes? Nine?
Look what I originally put. I originally put 68-65, and then I made an error and said Illinois wins by six. Can I retract? I'm going the same exact score. And you're looking at it. I put 68-65. Stefanovic, six threes in a losing effort.
Right.
I like that. Derek Piper, you're wearing green. Explain.
It's comfortable.
Okay. You're not a Michigan State fan now.
No.
Okay, that's good. All right, everybody, enjoy your weekend.
Thanks for holding it down, my man.
Yeah, baby. Thanks, Hans.
Thank you.
It is The Drive.
This episode of The Drive with Lonte and Derek Piper is brought to you by Two Men in a Truck, Movers Who Care. Visit them online at twomenchampagne.com for a free estimate.